Mr. Edwardson?
Here.
Ms. Bledishevsky?
Here.
Mr. Gregory?
Present.
Mr. Jones?
Here.
Mr. Keel?
Here.
Ms. Weldon?
Here.
Mr. Nankervis? Ms. Becker? Mayor Kelch?
Here.
A quorum is present.
And do we have two people on the phone, or we do not?
Not yet. We're
We have a special order of business. Do we have the Capital Cup winners here? Okay, can I ask you to come forward, please?
Joining the meeting, Mary Becker.
Right up here, which is great. For those of you who haven't seen this, this just made my month, week, year. And it's the announcement that I do not have to wear the bright orange Elmer's Fudd hat that I wear for White Horse. And it's because of it says that you were victorious at the Capital Cup with White Horse. You snapped a 3-year losing streak, and you defeated White Horse 325. You brought back. Did they give you a trophy?
Yay!
Timely as ever, Vinny.
And we haven't decided what to give the mayor to wear for his walk of shame, but I did wear the, like I said, I look at a bright orange hat to a reception for the Council General, Canadian Council General, this year. I took a picture and set it up. I did my part. So not very courteous to you.
You may have to do it again next year, but you know.
That's all I did. So is someone going to speak for the group? That's right.
Captain. Thank you, Mayor Kelch and members of the Assembly. It's a real honor to be here, to be invited tonight, and bring to you Juneau's Capital Cup. We love tennis, and we love to compete, and I think this year the hard work and teamwork that went into preparing for the Cup ultimately led to our victory. So we're proud to represent Juneau Tennis, and it's a real honor. And so, on behalf of my team, thank you very, very much.
Now we're going to expect you to work out all year for next year.
Now we have a youth.
Yes.
Nicely done. Thank you. Yeah, nicely done.
I'm on it.
Good job.
Nicely done.
Good job.
Good job.
Good job.
Thank you. Good job. Good job. Good job. Good job.
All right.
Thank you. I like to keep
your
phone even. Yeah. It's better beer, right?
Yeah. Phone or beer. Or both. One door or a piece.
All right. I think I'll send that Elmer Fudd orange hat back up. Next on the agenda is approval of the minutes. May we have a motion to approve these minutes? Ms. Blanchewski?
I move the minutes of June 25th, 27th, and July 11th.
All right. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, minutes are approved. Manager's request for agenda changes.
Mr. Mayor, I have one agenda change. Under the consent agenda, item C, resolution 2830. I would like to pull that from the agenda. That item is not ready for assembly action tonight. Thank you.
2830.
Item C, consent.
It's resolution. The second item C. On page 8.
On page 8. Okay.
Correct.
A resolution.
Not, yeah.
Resolution.
Not first item C.
All right.
Thank you. That brings us to public participation for non-agenda items. And we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people signed up. And let's do 2 minutes apiece. So the first one is Tom Putan.
Howdy, Tom Boutin, 15635 Glacier Highway, but tonight I'm just here to read a letter that some friends who are volunteering about 300 yards up the road asked me to read that they wrote to the Assembly, and they can't be here. This is from Bruce and Judy Bowler, who are live on Dudley Street. My wife Judy and I work in Juneau for many years and planned our retirement around what was promised by the city. Our cost of living increases don't match the rising cost of living in Juneau. We are happy to have a grandchild living with us full-time. He's a great kid and needs us, but we didn't plan on the added expenses when we retired. We know that there are many grandparents in Juneau who are raising grandchildren and could really use the money themselves instead of paying extra taxes. We cope with the new CBJ tax on non-food items consumed at home by eating out less, ordering items online, and skipping a remodel on our home. We would like to spend more money in Juneau, but it just isn't in the cards given the extra burden. Please keep the senior sales tax exemption as it is for current seniors age 65, and then give everybody the full sales tax exemption at age 70. Respectfully, Bruce and Judy Bowler, 8668 Dudley Street. And I do have a copy of the letter. Thank you.
Thank you. Kathy Bertin.
Kathy Boutin, 15635 Glacier Highway in Juneau. Tonight I have a letter from T. Terry Harvey, who is working tying up ships, so I'll read his letter if I may. Dear City and Borough of Juneau Assembly members, as a 41-year resident of Juneau, I am concerned at how the borough deals with senior citizens. I'll admit it has only been the last few years I've begun to think about this as my retirement years approach, and I continue to see in the news just how expensive it is to live here, even compared to other parts of Alaska, much less the lower 48. For many years, senior citizens were promised relief from the sales tax burden, and many older citizens planned their retirement around tax relief. At a time in their lives when all costs tend to rise, some dramatically, adding the sales tax on anything which is not a food is simply an extraordinary burden which should not be endured by those who we should honor. For those seniors who are low income, the CBJ offers what is called a rebate. While well-intentioned, the so-called senior sales tax rebate isn't actually a rebate at all. No proof of purchase for any item is required to get the rebate. A low-income senior simply has to produce a 1040 tax form, and the city pays the senior for living in the borough. Calling this a rebate is deceiving. It is anything but a rebate. It is simply giving money to some citizens by taxing others. I think that a much more helpful idea would be to keep the current senior sales tax exemption for those who are 65 and then give a full rebate to those from age 70 upwards. That plus adding a method of identifying cards shown by those who are 65 would help the city to figure out how much tax is actually being paid and whether cards are actually in use. Plus, it would make life easier for the merchants. Thanks for listening to my comments. Terry Harvey, 321 West 12th Street, Juneau.
Wow. Here's your comment. Thank you. Loretta Vigigan.
Hello, Assembly members. Loretta Vigigan, 8463 North Douglas Highway. I am pleased to speak to the Assembly Committee the Assembly members this evening regarding a steady economic base. I am talking about senior citizens' contribution to a steady economic payroll base. Senior citizens currently spend millions of dollars in this town, though they would spend more with a senior-friendly tax program. Senior citizens are receiving steady retirement checks, paychecks, with some of them spend at local businesses. Thus, a solid recurring money resource is being channeled into CBJ coffers by local business where senior citizens are spending their money. Look local first. Senior citizens do just that, thus providing a steady economic base to bolster the Juneau economy. Working adults who are not senior citizens cannot guarantee a constant steady stream of money into local business because at least 400 jobs, if not more, in the government sector have been eliminated in the last 2 years. When 400 government jobs go away, 400 service sector jobs go away also. How many more jobs are going to be eliminated this year? There is no guarantee that working adults will keep living wage jobs this year or next year. Some working adults may have to move away because their jobs have been eliminated. That is why it is important that CBJ convince their senior citizens to remain in the city in order to maintain a steady financial economic base. We will be convinced to stay in Juneau buying locally if CBJ restores our senior sales tax exemption. So I ask that the committee, the assembly, vote to restore the senior citizen sales tax exemption.
Thank you. Ron Somerville.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Mayor, members of the assembly. My name is Ron Somerville. I live at 4506 Robbie Road, at least till the 31st. I'm moving to the valley at that point. Anyway, I could say ditto, but I do have a couple things to add that haven't. I'm requesting that the Assembly schedule the reinstatement of the senior tax exemption as soon as possible. Seniors are requesting that there be an up or down vote to reinstate the senior tax exemption before the end of September. We are requesting that the Assembly essentially tell seniors that if when you retire and the benefits you required remain with you at retirement. But people on fixed income, it only kind of makes sense. The Assembly may choose to modify the benefits for new retirees. That's your decision. The decision to retire in Juneau or elsewhere is made at the time of retirement. As time goes by, seniors lose the options available to them at retirement. We want to make sure that this is open to the public, not done behind closed doors, see who supports or doesn't support. We want an up or down vote. If you choose to change your vote, tell us why. It isn't fair to keep the public out there. Six people in this assembly said they support reinstatement of the senior tax exemption, but we can't seem to get a vote. Kind of strange, don't you think? Some have said, oh, you're trying to pull the ladder up after you got here. We're not. The real case, you want to characterize it, is we were thrown under the bus. My family being here, I've lived in Alaska all my life. We don't have the option of leaving anymore. An option I would have probably taken to move outside of the state at the time had I known that the exemption and all these benefits that seniors supposedly got were going to be taken away. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Summerall. I'm going to skip the order and do Bruce Wyrock right now because I have a question about this other one. I need to look at the attorney for help.
Mr. Mayor, members of the Assembly, Bruce Wyrock, 12435 Ocknew Drive. I come to ask the Assembly to write a letter to the presiding judge of the federal bench and ask them to appoint a magistrate in Juneau. Leslie Loganbaugh has been magistrate in Juneau for a long time, and she's planning to retire from that position. I talked with her and communicated with her, and the federal bench is not planning to appoint a full-time or part-time magistrate in Juneau. To me, that's outrageous. We're the capital city. We have a federal court here. Federal cases are filed here. People are arraigned here. Naturalization ceremonies occur here. Bail hearings occur here. All kinds of things that a federal magistrate does. Not to replace Ms. Loganbaugh as a magistrate is a slap in the face of this community. I think the assembly should write a strong letter to the court system and copy the delegation and ask that a magistrate be appointed. Thank you.
Are there any questions for Mr. Wyler? Right. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I have one question.
Mr. Wyler?
Yeah.
Mr. Edwards?
Is there a magistrate somewhere in the state?
Sure, they're in Fairbanks and Anchorage.
Thank you.
I'm just going to take a short. It was one of these. I got a question. Now, those are all on the consent agenda. And they will not come up unless. Can you speak to it now?
Okay. It came at 129.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Hughes, I will get back to you when I figure out what's going on with this. But now is not the time. All right. All right. Let's go to the. We'll stop this part of the public participation on non-agenda items or close it and go to the consent agenda. Is there anyone from the public that wishes to have a consent agenda changes other than ordinance or introduction? Other than. Seeing none, I'll bring it back. Is there anyone from the assembly that which has a request for consent agenda changes? I would like to pull off ordinance 2018-11G. An ordinance appropriating to the manager of the sum of $350,000 as supplemental funding for Capital City Fire and Rescue funding provided by the general fund's fund balance. Are there any? Yes.
I thought that we couldn't pull ordinances off the consent agenda. I thought that's why we ask for any changes for other than ordinances for introduction.
That's the general public.
The assembly can pull ordinances. I was not aware that we could do that.
I think so. We have. And then it's the first item that we take up after we approve the consent agenda. Am I right?
The resolutions can be pulled for discussion.
He said ordinance.
Ordinances can be pulled only for the purpose of referring to a committee.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Ordinances cannot be discussed, but if the purpose of pulling it from the consent agenda is only to set it for public hearing and send it to a committee, that's acceptable.
And that is my intention.
I'll object.
All right. There has been objection to removing ordinance 2811G. Is there further discussion with your objection, Mr. Hill or Mr. Jones?
Your motion was to remove it, I think it should be set for a public hearing. We have the right to then refer it to a committee, but this way it's not even set for a public hearing, and I don't think that's right. So
joining the meeting.
My objection.
Mr. Gill.
Jerry.
Procedurally, a question. I want to make sure I have this right, that in the removal from the consent agenda, I didn't think was a motion as such. The consent agenda is a device for the assembly to deal with some of these procedural things, some of the and the introduction is not in question. So it's really a question of what's included in the consent agenda motion in the first place.
If the mayor's intention is to pull it for the purposes of introducing it, sending it to committee, and then to public hearing, that he can do that. I mean, that can be done by the assembly. The ordinance can't be substantively discussed, and the only other thing that can happen to it is it not be introduced at all. The assembly can choose not to introduce an ordinance if it so desires. But there can't be substantive discussion. But there have been instances in the past where the manager has not anticipated the assembly's desire to discuss a motion at the committee level, and so it's gotten pulled, or the consent agenda has been amended for that purpose. I've seen it happen both ways.
Mr. Jones.
Then, if it gets pulled from the consent agenda, mayor's intention is to put it someplace else. Where does it appear on this agenda?
The next motion, if the intention is to move it forward, the next motion would be to move to introduce it, set it to whatever committee, and then schedule it for public hearing at the next regular assembly meeting. It would be the same recommendation, and it would still be introduced, but my understanding from what I'm watching is that the mayor wants to send it to make it clear that it's sent to a committee for discussion.
Mr. Jones.
The recommendation from the manager says, I recommend this ordinance be introduced and set for public hearing at the next regular assembly meeting. So, Mr. Mayor, is it your intention that you're going to refer this to committee and not set it?
My intention is, I mean, we're probably getting ahead of the discussion here. My intention is to introduce it and send it to either the Committee of the Whole or the Finance Committee to have a discussion before we vote on it on the next meeting.
I offer an amendment to the mayor's motion. Instead of pulling it, I would move that we amend the motion that within the consent agenda, ordinance 2018-11G be introduced and referred to the Finance Committee. Does that satisfy everybody's, keeps it on the consent agenda and simply refers it to the Finance Committee?
Just to make your motion clear, there are two things that can happen from that point or at this point. You either send it to the Finance Committee and then followed by public hearing at the next regular assembly meeting, or it's left at committee until the Finance Committee moves it forward. You should just state what your intention is.
My intention would be to follow the recommendation that it be scheduled for the next assembly meeting and in the meantime go to the Finance Committee. I mean, to me, that's cleaner than pulling it from the consent agenda and dealing with it separately. That would be my amendment to the mayor's motion.
Any further discussion on the amendment? Ms. Gladyszewski.
If the intent is to discuss it at a finance meeting, the only finance meeting is in 2 days. So is it ready to be discussed in 2 days? I mean, we have a full finance agenda.
We do.
As far as I know. So I would send it to the Finance Committee until the Finance Committee is done with it. I mean, that's the other option.
Mr. Gill.
Procedurally, maybe not procedurally, the calendar. I think I've also got August 8th before the Assembly meets again. And that would be just based on agenda depth. I'd like to put it August 8th myself, but I can work with the finance director on that.
Okay.
Mr. Manager.
Mr. Mayor, I don't want to touch the, have a substantive discussion, but I want to explain that as this is a supplemental appropriation ordinance, the ideas that are in play for staffing the department can be accommodated by this amount, because by the time those staffing changes are made, a chunk of the fiscal year is going to pass by. So the appropriation ordinance need not be synonymous with consent of any particular staffing addition or model. And again, I'm trying not to get into.
You got there.
My intention and what I hope is done is that we spend some time in discussion about this and we not spend or put a supplementary appropriation in of $350,000 without having a substantial discussion. And I think that the discussion takes place more readily at a finance meeting than it does at an assembly meeting.
Mr. Mayor, Ms. Cosgrove and I have been discussing this, and we've been talking to the chief, and later in the agenda I was going to advise you under staff reports a bit more on this topic, but I think we have, if we can decouple the appropriation from the policy discussion, I think the Committee of the Whole on August 27th is availing, give staff time to give you the information that you're going to want to have. And that would be, my recommendation would be decouple the appropriation of extra funds to the department from the policy discussion.
Again, that's a good example of why we need to have a discussion other than at the assembly meeting. Mr. Keel.
So, Ms. Mayor, it sounds like you and Mr. Jones are in the same place here. Just for me to understand what we're doing, is it fair to understand Mr. Jones is having offered an amendment to the agenda so that if that passes, and I'm not going to presuppose the vote, then we can move the consent agenda, and it will have been referred to finance and back to the assembly after that?
If
his motion passes, right?
Yeah.
Sounds like you're getting the same place to me.
We are.
Okay.
But it's not. It's an amendment to a motion.
Not actually.
So if we're going to do an amendment by substitution, that's an entirely different scenario. So I think we've had a lot of discussion on how to proceed with this, and we can work it any way that people want to. But again, my intention of taking this off the consent agenda was to deal with it the first thing after the consent agenda, and that would be to introduce it at this meeting and refer it to finance for discussion. So we'll go ahead with Mr. Jones's motion first, and then we can come back to the other one. Yes.
I'm looking at the clerk, because you didn't make a motion, that's all. I'm just trying to make sure we do this smoothly so that everybody understands what we're voting on. That's all.
Okay.
I thought you did make a motion.
Madam Clerk.
Removing something from the consent agenda isn't a motion.
I'm thoroughly confused whether we have a motion or an amendment before us.
Is that a motion?
We have Mr. Jones's amendment.
Okay. So the mayor did make the motion, and we have the amendment before us. So the amendment, as I read it, was to introduce Ordinance 2018-11G and to refer it to the Finance Committee and to be set for the next public hearing at the next regular assembly meeting. Is that correct, Mr. Jones?
Read it again.
That Ordinance 2018-11G be introduced, referred to the Assembly Finance Committee, and to set it for public hearing at the next regular assembly meeting.
Yes.
Okay. In favor of that motion or opposed?
Wait a minute, Decker? We have some questions. Ms. Klaszewski and then Ms. Weldon.
My understanding is that this motion is the same, effectively, as what the mayor said, and I would support doing this action, having discussion about this at a finance meeting. So I think this does that. Thank you.
I was just probably similar to Mrs. Gladyshev, says what's the difference between what the mayor's motion was and the amendment? I don't quite see the difference. So
if I might, I think the difference is one was to remove it, deal with it later.
Mm-hmm.
this, basically, if it passes, then if we pass the consent agenda, then it goes to the finance, and we don't have to deal with it later. It's just all part of the consent agenda.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
There is one difference. Just to keep in mind, if the amendment doesn't go forward and your motion goes forward instead, we just have to have the clerk read the title and the MR be read. That's the only piece that doesn't get cared for by not putting it forward through the consent agenda.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Are you ready to vote?
Ms. Becker? Mr. Edwardson?
Yes.
Ms. Gladyszewski?
Yes.
Mr. Gregory?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Keel?
Yes.
Mr. Nankervis?
Yes.
Ms. Weldon?
Yes.
Mayor Kelch?
Yes.
Motion carries.
All right. Now we're back to the assembly action. Mr. Gill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move approval of the consent agenda as amended with the removal of resolution 2830 and ask unanimous consent.
Is there objection? The consent agenda has been approved. Which brings us to public hearings. Ordinance 2017-06, AW. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $119,853 as funding for various capital improvement projects and bond debt, funding provided by the general obligation bond interest income.
Mr. Manager.
This ordinance would appropriate $119,853 in bond interest income that was earned on general obligation bond proceeds. Per CBJ charter and direction of bond council, the interest income is available to 1. Cover original project's expenditures, 2. Pay bond debt service and IRS arbitrage fees, or 3. Other eligible capital improvement projects. The proposed expenditures are in compliance with the guidance. Funding provided by unexpended bond interest income from 10 capital improvement projects. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Is there public comment? Seeing no public comment, Mr. Edwardson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that the Assembly adopt Ordinance 2017-06-AW, and I recommend unanimous consent.
Without seeing or hearing objection, Ordinance 2017-06-AW is approved. Ordinance 2018-11A.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $53,000 as partial funding for the Treadwell Mine Park Preservation Capital Improvement Project. Grant funding provided by the Treadwell Historic Preservation and Restoration Society.
Mr. Manager.
This project is to prepare and paint the exterior and interior of the existing concrete structure known as the Treadwell Office Building. This work continues recent historic preservation work at the Treadwell Mine Historic Park. The Treadwell Historic Preservation and Restoration Society is contributing $53,000 to this project. Funds were obtained by the Society through private and corporate donations for the purpose of historic preservation activities at the Treadwell Mine site. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Is there anyone from the public that wishes to testify? Seeing no one, Mr. Gregory.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move the adoption of Ordinance 2018-11A and ask for unanimous consent.
Mr. Jones.
Question for the manager. This says partial funding. What's the remainder funding and what's the fund source?
Mr. Mayor, we'll bring Mr. Gillette up as he would be our resident expert on this topic.
Thank you. To answer your question, the Treadwell Preservation Project for the office building had $150,000 from a sales tax revenue through Parks and Rec. Can't tell you exactly which one it was, but it's toward, you know, the end of that particular sales tax, and a $200,000 or $125,000 grant from the Rasmussen Foundation.
So this just adds, if I might?
Yes.
So this just adds to that, and part of the project is to get it painted?
Yes.
Because, I mean, they put on the roof, they've done signage, they've done other expenditures.
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. A was moved and unanimous consent was asked. Is there objection? Seeing and hearing none, 2018-11A is approved. Ordinance 2018-11B, Madam Clerk.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $126,000 as supplemental funding for Waste Management's fiscal year 2019 operating budget, funding provided by the Waste Management Funds Fund Balance.
Mr. Manager.
This ordinance would appropriate $126,000 from the Waste Management Enterprise Fund Balance to the Waste Management Operating Budget to provide funding for the recycling program envisioned by Ordinance 2018-37. This appropriation would fund through FY19 the increased contract cost between the existing recycling contract and the expanded contract contemplated by Ordinance 2018-37. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Is there anyone from the public that wishes to testify? Seeing none, Ms. Weldon.
I move that we adopt Ordinance 2018-11B and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Seeing and hearing none, Ordinance 2018-11B is approved. Ordinance 2018-11C, Madam Clerk.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $84,479 as funding for the Parks and Recreation Department, funding provided by the Hotel Tax Funds Fund Balance.
Mr. Manager.
On July 1, 2018, the CBJ entered into an agreement with the Juno Arts and Humanities Council to manage the operations of Centennial Hall. Because the work of managing the hall will shift from public employees covered by the Public Employee Retirement System, PERS, to employees of a nonprofit organization not subject to PERS, the CBJ will incur a one-time termination cost of up to $84,479. This ordinance would appropriate the funds needed to pay for the termination costs to the Parks and Recreation Department. The funds will come from the Hotel Bed Tax Funds Fund Balance. This issue was discussed with the Assembly Finance Committee at its June 13, 2018 meeting. Finance Committee directed staff to prepare an appropriating ordinance and move it to the full Assembly for introduction and public hearing. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Is there anyone from the public that wishes to testify? I'll bring it back to the Assembly. Ms. Ladishevsky.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would move Ordinance 2018-11C and ask for unanimous consent.
Mr. Jones.
Question. I know during the budget process we funded some things out of the hotel bed tax fund balance as well. What's the balance after this appropriation?
Mr. Mayor, if we can invite Mr. Bartholomew up to provide us an estimate of that number.
You just told me what page it was. I'm not going to look. I think we started out with 400 and some thousand before the budget process.
So the question is the estimated balance in the hotel tax fund
after this appropriation. So after the adopted budget prior to this appropriation, we projected $462,000. So the balance would be subtract this appropriation from $462,000.
Thank you.
All right. The mayor is going to object to this one, and I will tell you why. The fund source, I think, should be the general fund and not the hotel tax. We ask enterprise boards and places like Centennial Hall to come through and watch their money wisely, and the head tax seems to go to Centennial Hall and Travel Juno. Taking this money out of their particular fund balance seems, especially for a one-time need, not appropriate. I think it's much more appropriate bringing it out of the general fund. The people that work at Centennial Hall have to belong to PERS or had to belong to PERS. Centennial Hall didn't come up with that. We did as a CBJ. I think the one-time payment should come out of general funds and not out of money that they have not spent or have thought about using and not used. I think it's appropriate that we allow them to keep that money in there. Ms. Glaszewski.
Mr. Mayor, is that a motion, or are you just going to object to the whole thing?
I'm just objecting to the fund source. My motion, I would amend it to say that it comes out of the general fund. Mr. Keel.
I guess I'll object to that change. The bed tax has been the consistent source of 55-60% of Centennial Hall's operating budget for as long as I've been tracking our city budget. So the fact that there is a draw on the hotel bed tax for a Centennial Hall expense seems perfectly appropriate. It's been the primary funding source. And because we have that one-time fund balance for a one-time need, I don't think there's anything inappropriate about using that as we make the overall cost of managing Centennial Hall in the long run significantly cheaper with the new management agreement. So I think tapping that one-time fund source that is so closely tied to how we pay for this service, perfectly appropriate.
Further discussion? Okay, will the clerk please call the roll on the amendment?
If I might, Mr. Mayor, just one. Do we need to reintroduce it if it changes fund source?
Maybe.
So on the amendment to change the fund source from the hotel tax to the general fund, Mr. Edwardson?
No.
Ms. Glaszewski?
No.
Mr. Gregory?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
No.
Mr.
Joining the meeting?
No.
Mary Becker?
Mr. Nankervis?
Yes.
Ms. Weldon?
Yes.
Ms. Becker, we are voting on an amendment to change the fund source on Ordinance 2018-11C from the hotel tax to the general fund. Are you in favor or against the motion to amend? Ms. Becker, are you with us still on the phone?
I am with you, but I just a second got back with you, and I didn't hear any of the discussion. Can you first tell me where we are, seeing that I was gone a long time?
Okay, we are on Ordinance 2018-C, an ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $84,479 as funding for the Parks and Recreation Department, funding provided by the Hotel Tax Funds fund balance. Mayor Kelch has proposed an amendment to change the hotel tax fund balance as the source of those funds and wants to change it to the general fund. So we are currently taking a vote on that motion to amend.
We're voting on the amendment at this time. Okay. Thank you.
Are you in
favor? So are you waiting for my vote?
Yes, we're waiting for your vote okay. this time.
Okay, yes.
And Mayor Kelch?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-4.
Okay, we're back to the main motion as amended. Is there objection? Seeing and hearing none, Ordinance 2018-11C.
Mr. Mayor, we have to ask Mr. Bartholomew a question. Ordinances will need to, if the basic character of the ordinance is changed, the ordinance needs to be reintroduced. With this one, I don't think that the change in the funding source would trigger a reintroduction since the public normally doesn't get to say what pot of money appropriations are made from. I just want to confirm with Mr. Bartholomew that this is just a pot of money issue and not something more substantive.
So, Mr. Mayor, I would say it's just the color of money question. We have sufficient general government fund balance. We have sufficient hotel tax fund balance. So it's just an option.
All right. Ordinance 2018-11C passes. Ordinance 2018-12A. Madam Clerk.
Mr. Mayor, if I might, did we take a vote on the main motion?
Oh, we have not.
2018-11C.
Well, yes, we have. We did.
No
we had.
Objected. It was no introduced. Objection. Okay. Okay, I didn't hear that part. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Ordinance 2018-12A. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance appropriating $40,000 from the Treasury for FY19 school district operations with the sole purpose of funding the auto shop lease costs.
Mr. Manager.
This ordinance would appropriate $40,000 to the Juneau School District to be used solely for the rental payment relating to the facility use agreement between the district and the University of Alaska needed for the district's auto shop program. The issue was discussed by the Assembly Finance Committee at its meetings on April 4th and May 9th, 2018. Assembly heard public testimony on the topic at the Assembly meeting on June 25th, 2018. The Assembly directed staff to draft this appropriating ordinance at its meeting on June 4, 2018. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Is there anyone here from the public that wishes to testify? Seeing and hearing none. Mr. Jones?
No, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Gill?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move the Assembly adopt Ordinance 2018-12A and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Seeing and hearing none, the motion has passed. Ordinance 2018-36. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance amending the official zoning map of the city and borough to change the zoning of USS 2305, Lot 9, Fraction, Northern Portion, and USS 2335, Fraction, Western Portion, located at 4535 North Douglas Highway, from D3 to D15.
Mr. Manager.
This ordinance would rezone lots on North Douglas Highway from D3 to D15. The two lots, 1.64 acres, are under the same ownership and together are currently occupied by one single-family dwelling. The requested rezone would be an expansion of an existing D15 zone immediately to the north. The large lot to the north was rezoned from RR Transition D3 to D15 in 2014. The 2013 comprehensive plan identifies the immediate area around and including the lots as medium density residential.
This designation supports lots which have zoning with dwelling densities between 5 to 20 units per acre. Comprehensive plan notes that rural lands and lands in the North Douglas subarea should be rezoned to higher densities when public water and sewer are provided to them. The subject lots were connected to public water in 1987 and public sewer in 2011. CBJ Land Use Code provides minimum restrictions for zone change requests. This proposal conforms to these restrictions as follows. The request is for less than 2 acres, but if approved, will expand an existing D15 zoning district. No similar request has been made in the past year. This request substantially conforms to the land use maps of the 2013 comprehensive plan. On April 18, 2018, a public meeting was held at the Douglas Library. On May 22, 2018, the Planning Commission recommended that the Assembly approve the rezone. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Is there anyone from the public that wishes to testify? Mr. Edwardson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that the Assembly adopt ordinance 2018-36, and I recommend unanimous consent.
Seeing and hearing no objection, the motion is carried. Unfinished business, Mr. Manager.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, Ms. Becker.
Oh, thank you. I'm sorry, but I was offline because of I don't know what, but anyway. I missed completely Ordinance 2018-12A, and I would like to know what the result was of that vote.
Madam Clerk?
That was a motion by Mr. Keel to move Ordinance 2018-12A, and he asked for unanimous consent, and it passed with no objection.
I don't know if there's any way to add my name to that, but I would want to be included in that unanimous vote.
So ordered. All right. Unfinished business, Mr. Manager.
Mr. Mayor, I have no unfinished business.
New business, senior citizen hardship late file application extension request. And who discusses this one?
Mr. Mayor, the following listed property owners are requesting that the Assembly authorize the assessor to consider late filed appeal of their property assessment. Hutchins, McVeigh, Rasmussen, Morgan, Roldan, Ware, and Knapp. The action required by the Assembly is to determine whether or not late filed tax assessment appeal will be heard. Evidence on the assessment itself or the merit of the appeal is not relevant. The Assembly should consider each request separately and determine whether or not the property owner was unable to comply with the 30-day filing requirement.
So, Madam Attorney, we do these one by one.
You can do them in any way you see fit. Someone can make a motion to deal with them all together if you've already reviewed them, or you can do them one at a time.
Okay.
I would. I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor, but I would do it by category.
2018 hardship exemptions first.
Correct.
Okay. May we have a motion? Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would move that the Assembly approve the 2018 hardship exemptions for applicant Hutchinson, McVeigh, and Rasmussen. I would ask unanimous consent.
Ms. Weldon.
I just have a question. Is the deadline the same every year?
The deadline is the same.
I have a question. Are we accepting these or approving these?
You would be accepting the applications.
Okay. Is there objection to accepting 2018 hardship exemptions, which then moves them to the assessor for review and action. Seeing no objection, they are accepted. 2018 Senior Citizen Disabled Veteran Exemptions. Is there a motion for this? Ms. Vladishevsky.
I would move the Assembly accept the 2018 Senior Citizen Disabled Veteran Exemptions. All five of them listed there, Rasmussen, Morgan, Roldan, Ware, and Knapp.
Mr. Jones.
I have a question on the number five applicant, Brenda Knapp. She sold a home, bought a new one, and the exemption didn't carry. And it was explained to her that the exemption doesn't go with the person, it goes with the property. Which I didn't quite understand, because you personally have to be over 65. You personally have to have filed. And so I was curious about that. Is that a glitch in our system, or is that something that needs to be disclosed by the realtor? Since it's a non-disclosure state, we don't even know that a house sold necessarily, do we? So I'm just curious, how would a homeowner know that from somebody who bought my house in 82 and has no intention of selling? I'm not going to lose mine, but I'm really curious about that.
Mr. Bartholomew is coming up, but the non-disclosure state would be about the price, not about the actual transfer of the property.
Okay.
So we know when properties transfer between private parties.
Right. So, Mr. Mayor, Mr. Jones, I think there's two questions. One was being when there's an exemption, and I think we're talking about the mandatory state senior property
right.
tax exemption, that actually goes with the person, not the property. So I'll have to see what the issue is with the assessor's office, but it's an individual has to qualify, and if they qualify, they get an exemption off their property. If they sell the property, the exemption does not stay with the property, and if that person went and bought other property, they'd have to reapply. How does the assessor's office know? There are deeds filed with the state, so whenever there's a transfer of title, then we search that record and we update our property database, so that's how we know who to send notices to. So we do know when property changes hands. We don't know the sales price.
Mr. Jones.
But basically, this applicant says, you know, she wasn't told that, so when she got her full assessment, and it didn't show the senior even though she had it on a prior property, she just thought that when the actual notice came out, it would happen. I mean, there seems to be something in there that either we're missing an education piece, or it's part of a real estate transaction, or...
The official procedure would be if they sold a piece of property, that exemption would end. If they bought a new piece of property, they would reapply for the exemption. They wouldn't automatically get it. They would have to apply for that parcel. So if they failed to apply by the deadline, they have the process of requesting the acceptance of a late application. And I could check with the assessor's office whether there's a step that saves that work. I'm not aware of one.
I don't know about saving the work, but it seems that if the assessor knows a property sold and the exemption office, you know, knows that that property no longer gets an exemption, should be some notice to the individual that if you buy property, you have to refile. I mean,
I don't know what the trigger would be.
Right.
I mean, we never know whether somebody's going to buy property, I think. So
okay.
Whether there should be more education about the exemptions, that might be necessary.
Okay. So the motion was to accept these late file appeals for the senior citizen disabled veterans exemptions. Is there any objection? Seeing and hearing none, they are accepted to refer to the assessor for review and action. Seventh-day Adventist Christian School versus CBJ Assessor, appeal number 2018-03.
On July 13, 2018, the clerk's office received an appeal of the assessor's decision regarding the tax exemption status of the property owned by Juno Seventh-day Adventist Christian School. In accordance with the appeals code, you must decide whether to accept or reject the appeal. If you determine, after liberally construing the notice of appeal in order to preserve the rights of the appellant, that there has been a failure to state to comply with the appellate rules, or if the notice of appeal does not state grounds upon which any of the relief requested may be granted, you may reject the appeal. If you decide to accept the appeal, you must decide whether you will hear the appeal itself, yourself, or whether you will assign it to a hearing officer. If you decide to hear the appeal yourselves, you will need to appoint a presiding officer. In hearing this appeal, you sit in your quasi-judicial capacity and must avoid discussing the case outside of the hearing process.
All right. The first question is whether the assembly will hear the appeal itself or it will assign the appeal to a hearing officer. Mr. Jones.
Question. Didn't we do this last year? And didn't we assign it to ourselves? And then there was a settlement between the assessor's office and Seventh-day Adventists on, I guess it was 2017. So now we're back because even though there was a settlement for that year, the assessor didn't carry that forward, and so now we're back for another appeal. Is that sort of where we're at?
Mr. Mayor, Mr. Jones, it was not the type of settlement that could be carried forward year to year.
All right. The question is, does the assembly want to hear this themselves, or do they want to assign it to a hearing officer? Mr. Gregory.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that we assign this to a hearing officer if there are funds available.
Could we decide to take it first?
Pardon?
Could we decide to accept the appeal first? I think that's step one.
Okay. Let's go with we'll accept the appeal. Yes or no? Nodding of heads? Yes. Now, will we hear it ourselves or assign it? And Mr. Gregory has a motion to assign it. Is there objection to assigning it to a hearing officer, provided funds are available?
That was the question, the funds part.
Madam Clerk? I'm Madam Clerk. Madam Attorney?
I have no idea if there are funds available. This is funded out of, I think, your budget, which I don't know what the status is. The last time we were here, the clerk, Masika, advised that because the fiscal year had restarted, there was money available. You sent one hearing, one appeal to a hearing officer, I think it was last month. So there probably are funds available to start this with the Office of Administrative Appeals, but you will probably need to supplement that budget as the appeals move on.
Mr. Keel.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor, thank you. We have not revised our budget. We used to hear almost all the appeals ourselves. In recent years, we got some really complex ones. We sent to hearing officers, but we didn't change our budget to add money for all these hearing officers. So it seems to me that as much fun as reading a couple of hundred pages of appeal materials can be, it's probably something we ought to start taking back in-house.
Okay. Further discussion? We have a motion on the floor and an objection. Clerk, please call the roll.
On the motion to refer the matter to a hearing officer, Ms. Weldon?
Yes.
Mr. Dan Kervis?
Yes.
Mr. Keel?
No.
Mr. Jones?
No.
Mr. Gregory?
Yes.
Ms. Gladyszewski?
No.
Mr. Edwardson?
No.
Ms. Becker?
Yes.
Mayor Kelch?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-4.
All right. Archipelago land deal. Mr. Manager.
Mr. Mayor, at prior committee meeting, the Assembly heard an update from the Port Director and staff about the proposed development of municipal tidelands and the purchase and sale, proposed purchase and sale of property with the Morris Group on the property commonly known as the Archipelago property south of the parking garage. There is a housekeeping action needed by the Assembly to allow the Port Director to negotiate directly with the Morris Group. As we do from time to time in Title 53, it requires that the Assembly be notified when a property owner comes directly to the city and requests to negotiate for that property. And it's to the Assembly to make a motion to direct staff to negotiate directly with the original proposer. So it would be my request that you pass a motion for port staff to negotiate directly with the Morris Group on the Archipelago proposed land purchase and sale. Thank you.
All right. Mr. Jones.
Question. I thought Title 53 gave that to the manager negotiates sales, not the director appointed by an enterprise board.
There is a provision in, I think it's Title 85, that says for purposes of Title 53, the port director stands in the shoes of the manager. Whether that is, it's not clear whether that's only for the services piece or whether that is also for the land piece. I honestly think, without double checking, I think that is just for the procurement piece. That was the intention when the Assembly amended the giant overhaul of Title 85. I think that since this touches upon other departments, it might be a manager function, but I would need a minute to look at our code.
Mr. Manager.
And Mr. Mayor, I've been in close communication with Mr. Yucatel on how I believed the proposal should be framed and how and when it would come back to the Assembly. So it would not be, while the details of the project as proposed in terms of the exact square footages to be purchased and sold, I have not involved myself in, but in terms of helping frame the calculation of fair market value, I have expressed a strong opinion on that, and I'll carry forward that goal.
Mr. Edwardson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Manager, how much risk is there to CBJ? You're asking us to give the right of negotiation to the Ports and Harbor Director. If they make an agreement, are we bound to that agreement?
Mr. Manager.
Mr. Mayor, an ordinance for approval would come back to the Assembly. So the Assembly has the decision-making step in this issue.
Follow up,
please.
I guess what I'm asking is if we decided not to go with what was negotiated, are we exposed at all?
Mr. Manager.
Mr. Mayor, no. No, I think you would send it back to staff for more work. And as a further note, I would advise that land purchases of this nature also go through the Planning Commission for comment.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Manager, you asked for a particular motion.
A motion to negotiate directly with the Morris Group for sale of municipal property.
Ms. Gladyszewski.
For who to negotiate directly, the manager or the port director? I mean, we are comfortable, or I certainly am comfortable with you doing it. It's a, well, anyway, you tell us what your opinion is on that.
Mr. Manager.
Mr. Mayor, I think the Assembly should express its comfort. And obviously the empowered boards and the empowered board directors don't report to me. I think that's your call.
Mr. Jones.
The attorney was going to look at Title 85, see how that might have amended 53, which I think says the manager negotiates that. So I'd like to hear from her if she's had a chance to go through the statute.
Madam Attorney.
Mr. Mayor, if we could take 5 minutes, the provision that I'm thinking of is not in the place that you would think it should be. It's stuck in someplace really weird, and I have to look for it every time I need to find it.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I would make a motion that we have the manager be in charge of the land deal, and you could get whatever specifics he needs from the port director, and then we would be sure.
All right. We have a request for a short recess, and
okay.
We have a motion, so we can do it either way.
Recess.
Short recess. How about, Madam Attorney, 20 after or 25 after?
I found it, so whenever.
20 you're after.
U.S. lawmakers and intelligence officials have described Russia as one of the greatest threats to the U.S., but is President Trump hearing their warnings?
Russia is a great country, great people, great history, but they only respect strength. And anybody that doesn't believe that has never read a page of history and doesn't understand who they are.
How we're dealing with Russian aggression on the next morning edition.
Starting 4 a.m. weekdays on KTOO Juneau 104.3.
This year, the Southeast Alaska State Fair celebrates 50 years this July 26th through the 29th in Haines. In addition to the lineup of rides, music, animals, competitions, and food the fair delivers every year, there will be a special exhibit dedicated to the history of the fair in Harriet Hall. Check out photos of fairs past, share your favorite fair stories, and celebrate 50 years of Southeast Alaska State Fairs. Information and tickets at seakfair.org.
And you're tuned to KTOO Juneau. We've been listening to the CBJ Assembly meeting, and they're currently on a break until 8:20. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 53. Tomorrow, sunny with a high near 76. And Wednesday, increasing clouds with a high near 66. Thank you.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Title 85 says that if the land at issue to be administered or disposed of is tide land, submerged land, or other land that has been assigned by the Assembly to the Docks and Harbors Board by resolution for management, then the port director stands in the manager's shoes for purposes of Title 53. But in this case, since the land at issue is uplands, I think the manager would be the appropriate person under our code to administer and to negotiate.
Mr. Radiszewski.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I made that motion already for to have the manager negotiate, so that's the motion.
Okay, Madam Clerk, do you have that motion?
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Is there objection to that motion? Hearing none, the motion carries. Staff reports.
Mr. Mayor, I have a few notes for you on Capital City Fire Rescue and on staffing. So you heard from Fitch and Associates about their report work, and in an effort to jumpstart the process for adding staffing, we have put forth an appropriation ordinance. And when that ordinance was initially drafted, the concept was a 12-hour ambulance crew, and the $350,000 reflects the full year cost for that. And we moved that forward faster than we normally would have because we wanted to get staffing relief for the department sooner. Since we brought the Fitch report and that ordinance to committee, we've received a fair amount of comment from the department, and I've been working with Ms. Cosgrove, with the chief and the assistant chiefs to pull in more information to look at the two general ideas that are out there as the next step for providing resources to the department. Obviously, the call volume has escalated significantly. The pressure on the department is not disputed. I don't have a recommendation for you tonight, and I don't want to give you a hasty one. So I'm glad that you referred this to Finance Committee. I think that's good. It's an issue that has caught the Assembly's attention, and I think you need to spend some time on it. At that committee, I will try to provide you the context of the things that I think you should think about. That are all interrelated, and the other ideas that are out there for additional funding, because this is certainly not the last funding request that you're going to get. Earlier in the meeting, I tried to dance around the issue a little bit on funding and staffing model. The $350,000 represents a complete fiscal year of four employees for a 12-hour ambulance crew. The other idea that's out there is six 24-hour employees for another $120,000 more. As a practical matter, by the time the changes are made for the department, we're going to be 2-3 months into the fiscal year, and the appropriation will allow the latitude for any choice that's made. And I think the important there are a couple things that are important. One is that the Assembly decide what level of detail it wants to be involved in on this and what level of staffing management ought to be taking place at the department level. I think that's important. And I think it's an important discussion about how we balance the cost of service, the level of service, the staffing model, workforce culture. It strikes me that we've all collectively not acted quickly enough in the face of the escalation of demand for services at the department. And I think probably the bigger question in my mind is how we develop a process for moving forward that allows us to adequately resource the department and help the department so that it can adapt, because I think the landscape is continuing to change on their services. So that's really all I have.
for you tonight. I have no recommendation. I certainly hear the opinions, the strong opinions out there. I have no philosophical objection or attachment to any particular staffing model. I think the Assembly just needs to hear the other demands that it's likely to receive for resources, and the Finance Committee is a great forum to hear that.
Okay. Ms. Vladishevsky.
Just a question to be clear on the process. So we're going to talk about it at least briefly on this Finance meeting on the 9th. But scheduling it for a more robust discussion at the COW is what I believe I heard you talk about earlier, later in the month.
Well, Ms. Gladyshevsky, as the Assembly is willing to allocate time on the 9th, we can have as robust a discussion as you prefer. I'm not immediately familiar with the exact details of the agenda, but I believe we probably have a pretty good agenda lined up already, and I think it's important that we make the right decision for the right reasons and give it time rather than force a hasty decision. And I say that knowing that I'd like to get more resources to the department sooner. I would not like to delay help. So I think it's really a question of how much else we have on the August 9th. Finance Committee, how quickly we're able to get information that we think is necessary, and whether we're able to wrap that up on the 9th or not. But I think it really should be decoupled from the appropriation ordinance. We could certainly provide information on the 9th about the full year cost of any particular iteration, so that you would know the decision that would be embedded in the FY20 budget.
Ms. Vlachowski.
As long as we are decoupling, we're moving forward to get the money ready to buy something. That seems appropriate. But if we don't know if the full analysis of the options aren't done by the 9th, I presume they'll be done by the whatever the date of the COW is a couple weeks later. But if that hasn't slowed down, we're going to hire someone, so that seems appropriate as long as it's not extending again and again. That's from my point of view.
Any further questions or comments? All right. I think we'll move on to the mayor's report, which everyone seems to be wanting to wait for. All right, Mayor's report. Uptown neighborhood gathering at McPeters Hall was well attended. It was focused on public safety, and I think there was some viable discussion that went on with that neighborhood. There was also the unveiling of the marker and the informational panels concerning the sinking and loss of life in the Princess Sophia. That was at Eagles Beach. Again, that was put on by the Pioneers of Alaska and was very well attended. I met with Klinkenheide President Richard Peterson and several program managers and heard updates on how their programs were working in Southeast and in particular in Juneau. Attended the AEL picnic at Cope Park, sunny day, well attended, done well. Today in the office, I visited with Jenny Klein Chitwood and her two daughters. Jenny Klein Chitwood was the Juneau mayor in 1975 and 76. And tomorrow is an installation of a new sculpture at the Valley Library at 10 a.m. They will start putting that up. And that's all I have for my report. Mr. Kiel.
Well, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Had not heard about the sculpture thing. I hope I didn't miss an email. That's great. The Finance Committee has not met since our last Assembly meeting. However, we'll see you all here Wednesday night. Talk about potential ballot questions. The packet is out online, and if you, we need paper copies. We'll be sure and get one from the clerk before we leave this evening.
It's in your box upstairs.
Should be. Mr. Jones informs me they're in the mailboxes upstairs. I am planning to attend the Alaska Municipal League Summer Conference in Healy. Are any other assembly members able to make that this year, just so I know? I'm going to offer to share some transportation. Okay. And then, let's see. Mayor mentioned most of the things I was going to talk about. I wanted to give a couple of kudos. The Uptown Neighborhoods Association, Neighborhood Association's community meeting about a real a property where there's a lot of really problematic activity had a huge turnout, and I very much applaud and thank the manager for the number of folks from the city we sent. The police department was represented by both the chief and deputy chief, as well as lieutenant. CDD sent the new director. The city attorney's office had representation present. The mayor and I were both there. Folks in the neighborhood had the opportunity to see how seriously the city's taking it. Fair to say not everybody left happy, but with some ideas about how to move forward. I appreciated that one of the part owners of the property also had representation at that meeting. So there's hope if a lot of work left to do. I also wanted to give kudos to the manager, the attorney, and the mayor. We all worked on a fascinating dilemma involving the Department of Transportation and connections to water and sewer. And it took me 25 minutes to describe how this thing worked to my wife when she asked what I'd done that day. And so I'll spare you. But I can say that there was a lot of hard work, a lot of creative thinking, and some folks in the governor's office and at DOT were willing to think outside the box and work with us to make things happen appropriately, legally, and before a very tight looming deadline so that projects could happen. So it was painful, but the results were good. And then I'll just thank in advance the folks who put on the annual National Guard Day dinner. They are doing that again on the 30th of July, and I appreciate very much everything they do to honor the folks who serve state and nation. And so my thanks to them, and I don't have an invitation, but I'm glad they'll be there. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Public Works and Facilities Committee met on July 9th. One of the transfers we dealt with was dealt with tonight on the consent agenda. The other one is for the match for the Industrial Boulevard reconstruction connected with the Department of Transportation. I assume that will come back to us at some point. And an information item on Pedersen Hill and some cost structure issues that have arisen on the road. We also had an information item on the Adair Kennedy Park maintenance, more commonly known as the Dudley Street objections to the tree removal. out of our norm, we did take public testimony. We heard testimony from 8 persons that testified about the removal of the trees around Adair Kennedy Park and the ball field. George Schaff from Parks and Rec gave a report before that. We found out at that meeting that Lori Sawa from the engineering has been put in charge of that. Since that meeting, there's been other pictures and other conflabs going on. I assume maybe the manager can talk about that a little bit later, but we did have that hearing, thought that staff response was going to be working with the community And I guess I'm not quite sure how that went about. Our next meeting is August 6th. The Juneau School District did not meet in July. Their next meeting is August 14th. There's a work session and a board meeting. Per their policy, next year's school board meetings will be at Thunder Mountain High School, not at JDHS. I will not be at that meeting as I will be in Fairbanks for the Marijuana Control Board. The Downtown Business Association met on 7/10. They had a presentation from Allison Eddins on the Historic Preservation Plan and that progress. They also began a discussion now that they have worked with their members, and they are going to go out and poll their members again to raise the money to hire some additional downtown security, probably through Gold Belt. And Officer Cologne happened to be there during the discussion. They haven't settled on what hours. There's a difference of opinion within the DBA as to whether this should be an early morning as employees come to work, whether this should be late at night as the bars close, when damage is done. Officer Cologne was helpful on that. But they're looking at the potential of a project starting probably sometime in September through December at about $4,500 a month to hire additional security guards for the downtown. Then on the 13th of July, their infrastructure committee met. Some of the questions raised in the historic preservation plan was what are the tax incentives, what are the sort of grant incentives for restoration of historic properties. So Laura Boyce attended that meeting to discuss what some of those are, what some of the possibilities might be. But also Laura Boyce will be the person within CDD heading up the downtown blueprint. So it was good for her to make connection with the Downtown Business Association. And their next meeting, which I apparently didn't write down, I think is on the 7th of August. But don't, if that's a Tuesday, then that's the day. The Juneau Commission on Aging met on the 10th. They had a lot of discussion about subcommittees and some of the things that they want to be working on. And their next meeting, I believe, is on the 14th of August. And again, I will not be able to attend. And those meetings are at JDC if anybody wanted to attend. Then just as sort of concerns, Duff Mitchell tonight mentioned that the National Guard next Monday at 4:30 at the Jack, and he said that he'd be getting invitations out tomorrow. He said if he sends them out too early, everybody forgets. If he sends them out too late, then, you know, so he's trying to hit the happy medium. And then the other of note is the Douglas Island Neighbors Association on the 25th of August from 3 to 9. We'll be having the Douglas Island sort of community party. Over in Douglas, community picture at 6. I think they will have some hot dogs, hamburgers, that kind of thing, asking people to bring food to share if they're of a mind. That's my report, unless the manager has something to say about Dudley or Dare Kennedy Park tree removals.
Mr. Mayor, the only thing I would add is I've asked staff to further update public works and facilities. So there are things that the neighborhood has asked staff to look into, and I think they've got some of that queued up for, I think, the 6th.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Ms. Barlaszewski.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Human Resources Committee met this evening and recommends the appointment of Linda Kruger to a term on the Juneau Commission on Aging, starting now and ending December 31, 2021.
Is there objection to that nomination? Nomination is approved.
We also heard a report from the Juneau Commission on Sustainability, their annual report. They do a tremendous amount. One of the things I noticed and asked about was their livestock ordinance that they sent to the law department maybe last August 2017. And so I was wondering from the law department what's happening with the livestock. It seems to be in the law department. What's happening with livestock ordinance?
Madam Attorney?
Yes. That actually did not get to the law department until more recently than that.
Okay.
And CDD sets its priorities as far as which ordinances they push forward. That was being pushed forward, and then it wasn't because of other issues that arose that they wanted things to take priority. So we take our direction from CDD.
Maybe the commission was done within August, but they sent it to CDD, and you didn't get it till later or something.
That is correct.
Sounds like.
Yes, and then CDD had other issues to move forward before that went forward. But it is moving forward.
Okay, thank you. Bartlett Regional Hospital Board met on July 24th. They the last few weeks have been talking about the Moss Adams report, which they got already. They've been going through it. It's an operational review of the hospital, basically, and it's given some options for changes. So they're working their way through that. And also is a model. They've given a model for analyzing operations. So it's not just a static report. So they're working their way through that. They meet tomorrow as their next meeting, July 24th. The Affordable Housing Commission has not met. Their meeting was scheduled for July 3rd. They decided to not have that meeting. So they will meet next on August 7th. That's all I have.
Thank you, Ms. Wyszewski. Ms. Weldon.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. For the Aquatics Board, we all met yesterday for a retreat with the board and the Parks and Recreation and Pool Administration. And they're working on their goals moving forward. And just a plug, we met out at the Eagle Valley Center, and that is a Juneau property. And you could rent it for $345 a night, and it sleeps up to 12, and it was a great place to be, and it was just beautiful out there. So anyway, their next meeting is August 21st. On the Planning Commission, they met on July 10th, and it was a pretty light meeting. They're passing ordinance on accessory apartments, just some housekeeping amendments, and their comp plan ad hoc committee reported on their recommendation to the Assembly to update the comprehensive plan. Their meeting tomorrow night has been canceled, so if that was on your social calendar, you get a free night. For my latest activities, I attended the memorial wake for Rudy Ripley, who is a Juneau icon. And if anybody remembers Info Juneau and his editorials, they have a small taste of what a great guy he was. And so that was, wouldn't say fun, but lots of old-time Juneauites were there, so it was nice to see the older folks. So I attended the Disability Pride Picnic and was reminded that disability is just different ability. Congratulations to the Gastineau Channel Little League Major Softball Team for winning the state championship. I also had a tour from George Schaff at the Adair Kennedy tree situation, but it sounds like we're dealing with that already. I was able to go on a Treadwell walking tour with a member of the Treadwell Historic Society, and that's a great tour if you ever get a chance to see that. That's a lot of fun, and it's especially fun for my family as the building that we just painted, my grandmother and mother had high tea there when my mother was young. So I, too, attended the ALMP picnic, their 125th anniversary, and walked down to the Gold Creek Hydro Plant. And it was just nice to be able to walk all these places after my leg injury this winter. So I did go attend, or not attend, but went to visit some of the Meander Way people after the, I'll kill it, the Yokolup. That was pretty good. So, and I am wondering if we can somehow come up with some kind of help for those folks still. And I don't know if we need to draft an ordinance or something, but my suggestion is of those 28 properties identified, if they at least spend $25,000 in a bank stabilization project, if we could waive their property tax for 5 years. So I don't know if we do that by an ordinance. I don't know if we're just going to get thumbs down from everybody here, or if that can be brought up in another place. But some of those guys are going to be spending lots of money to stabilize their banks. So, and I don't even know with the city attorney, she's frowning at me, if we get any kind of liability doing that. But I hope we look at trying to help those folks somehow. Bruce Weirich was here, and should we address the letter that he wanted us to write for the magistrate? That is my other question. And Jesse, Mr. Keel is nodding his head, so he probably forgot to mention that. But maybe he couldn't say Weirich. Anyway, so can we have a letter drafted in support of a magistrate, I guess is my question. Mr. Mayor.
Yep, I'm looking for a thumbs up, thumbs down. And I can't see it on the telephone, but I'm assuming that Mr. Nankervis and Ms. Becker are in agreement.
What are we agreeing with, Mr. Mayor?
To write a letter requesting that a magistrate position be kept in Juneau.
Oh, sure.
Okay, great.
Yes.
Great. Thank you.
And that is my report.
Ms. Gladyszewski.
Mr. Mayor, excuse me, I forgot one Human Resources Committee thing. We need to interview applicants for the Docks and Harbors Board, and a suggestion that hopefully works for everyone is August 27th after the Lands Committee meeting. So Lands Committee will be over at 6, so we can schedule interviews at 6. Monday, August 27th. So I see no thumbs down, so we'll call that good. Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor.
You're welcome. Mr. Gregory.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Eagle Crest Board met on July 9th at 5:30. They introduced several new board members. On the agenda, the Eagle Crest manager is working through the procurement process for the new snowmaking equipment. They anticipate that the new snowmaking equipment will be in place by this winter. We currently have 10 snow guns, and with this new snowmaking equipment and the pumps, the booster pumps, we'll be able to make snow all the way up to the base of the Black Bear Lift, which is quite exciting. The Juneau Community Foundation, at the date of that last meeting, raised $110,000 of the $125,000 needed for the new cabin that's being built at Eagle Crest. And the Juneau Community Foundation vision is really a kickstarter for a much larger cabin network. In Juneau and Douglas Island. They're looking to build about 2 more cabins on Eagle Crest, as well as other areas around Douglas and in Juneau. The Juneau Community Foundation is also looking at building cabins along the Treadwell Ditch Trail. The Juneau Community Foundation is maintaining a volunteer list for the cabin building project. The Juneau Community Foundation is the driving force behind the cabin effort. They plan to take the lead so that Eagle Crest staff can maintain their focus on winter activities. The new bridge down by the Ptarmigan Lift Chair is done. It was a very large project. The old bridge had collapsed and wasn't allowing enough water to flow through adequately, so the new bridge is providing some good water flow so we don't have any flooding down there. They continue to look at additional trail infrastructure up at the mountain and providing other opportunities for hiking and biking, which is pretty exciting. There was discussion of what a mountain coaster would look like on Eagle Crest, which was also a pretty exciting conversation. Again, mountain biking, looking at expanding mountain biking on the area, on the mountain. And that is about it. The next meeting is going to be next Thursday, and the Parks and Rec Committee did not meet last month. Their next meeting will be it'll be Tuesday, the 7th of August.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Gregory. Mr. Edwardson?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Local Emergency Planning Committee did not meet this month. Its next meeting is scheduled for August 8th. Ms. Gladyszewski went over JCOS pretty thoroughly, but one of the things that I'll mention is that their annual report is well written and it's compact. And I would recommend that people read it. It goes over several different things, like the work that JCOS is undertaking to implement the JREC. It talks about transportation, the work that they're doing with the city for electric vehicles. It talks about chickens. And I'm not going to go into that too much. But their next meeting is August 22nd. One of the things that they did bring up is the difficulty in getting me, the liaison there, simply because their meetings every month fall on the same day as, or the same exact time as the finance committee meetings. So they tried a few months back to actually change it, and that didn't stick. So they're going to try to come up with some other times as well. And I hope to, I hope they can, because those meetings I actually really don't want to miss. Let's see, Docks and Harbors met June 30th, and that was where they said goodbye to their three members, including Tom Donick, and that's where Dave Sang, another member, announced that he was taking a job out of state. And that's the need. That's what's driving the need for having interviews next month. Let's see. Most of what they talked about, we talked about in tonight's meeting. The one thing that we didn't talk about in tonight's meeting that they talked about was they got a update from the Alaska DNR Division of Mining, Land, and Water on the Tug Lumberman. So I don't want to speak for either Docks and Harbors, or I don't want to speak for the lumbermen, I don't want to speak for DNR, but I will say that there's some gaps there in who could be responsible for what. They're triggered by certain events or non-events, and I think Docks and Harbors is actually doing a very good job trying to get to the bottom of what Juneau's responsibility or possible contributions are. So that's my report, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Edmondson. Mr. Gregory.
Mr. Kelch, Mayor Kelch, thank you for the opportunity to speak again. I forgot one item off of my assembly member comments, is that after the 4th of July, this is a sticky wicket that is a difficult one to deal with in our community and that we've heard a lot about. But I can tell you that my phone was lit up during the 4th of July holiday over fireworks again. And some of the comments that I've received are taking into consideration people that have served our country and are veterans and might be experiencing post-traumatic stress disorder as a result of their service. And unfortunately, these people are unable to find a peaceful place where they can enjoy the holiday like everybody else without the explosions. And I've heard of issues, everything from migraine headaches to just flashbacks and other things that I think as a community we need to be considerate of, and I think that it's something that might still need a little bit more work. As much as a difficult issue as it is for our community, I think it's something that we shouldn't forget, and I'm sure many of you also received phone calls and emails over the matter. And so while it is a sticky issue, I think it's something that we should continue to work on and refine and educate our community about.
Mr. Gregory, I have put a request in to get the information on how many calls there were to the police department and responses over that time, and I think that would be a good starting point. All right.
Thank you.
Mr. Nankervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Everybody pretty much covered everything that I got through this past couple of weeks. It's summer and everybody's busy, and that's it for me tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Nankervis. Ms. Becker.
Mr. Mayor, did you call on me?
I did.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear you if you just did it. My phone is going in and out with the, it's not cooperating with the city phone system. But, okay, thank you. This last month, the last time between meetings, were some cancellations. I think the weather and the summer and the visiting, there's been difficulty getting quorum. So Lands did not have a meeting.
and Travel Juneau had to cancel theirs. Chamber continued having their meetings every single week like they do, and they had some really good programs. One that I especially enjoyed was with Chuck Bill on the hospital. Just really, really interesting, and he gave new and interesting information. He did a very nice job talking to us. Also, the Elastic Committee, the one of the main things that they were excited about and had a little bit to do with was a C-SPAN that came up for Alaska Week, and I hope you all got to see it on the 21st and 22nd of July. So it was a pretty neat deal to have them. Alaska Committee said their finances are all going okay. And there's a visitor satisfaction survey that's out in the public right now. The Palmer Fair is coming August 29 to September 1. And there'll be, hopefully we're looking for a video on Alaska Airlines. Gold-covered candy bits. We'll be getting 2 tickets from Alaska Airlines to give to people. There's a drawing for that. And we're going to have a big map of Alaska so we can show them where Juneau is. The other thing that's been kind of interesting to me is that the Alaska Committee and the Chamber, in addition to the Assembly, are all asking that all of their members donate to the Education Fund. So that was kind of interesting to have that be an announcement at those meetings. So let's see. The Southeast Conference, they're looking at having bags or something for people to carry their information with perhaps the slogan, Juneau, your captain every day. Capital every day. Juneau, your capital every day. The next meeting is September 19. I also went to, like many of you did, to the Overstreet Park ribbon cutting event. And I've heard some good reports. I have heard some firework reports too. I think really it's a good idea to have a conversation with the police chief. I do think that we do have some kind of strict rules in order. They're just not being enforced. But maybe they won't be able to be. I don't know. But one thing I did hear that was good, a lot of comments about how great the Project Playground is starting to look. And a lot of anticipation for that being done. And I think that's all. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Becker. Just one follow-up comment. And I think that our police department, our fire department, our emergency manager, Tom Matisse, a lot of other CBJ staff handled the information that they put out on the flooding, handled the crowd control, and just standing by all the way around. So I thought they did a fantastic job, and it made it seem almost like a normal event, which it isn't. Ms. Weldon and Madam Attorney, if you'll get together on Ms. Weldon's question on the appraisements and or whatever it is on the housing
meanderway,
just to get your questions answered on that. All right, continuation of public participation on non-agenda items. Welcome back, Alex. All right. Then we will need to be going into executive session for the annual evaluation of the city manager and city attorney and the Gastmal apartment update. Do we have a motion? Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that the assembly recess into executive session to discuss 2 topics, one of which the Gastmal apartments update is a topic the immediate knowledge of which could be detrimental to the finances of the city and borough of Juneau, and the others of which city manager and city attorney evaluations could be detrimental or could tend to be prejudicial to the reputation or character of an individual.
Is there any public testimony? Is there objection? We are going into executive session.